Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
We all go through different trials and growth spurts. But he says, I come in and no one can take that person from me. No one. Because I know what I know. And I know he belongs to me. You're either a child of the Lord or you're not. If you can't hear his voice, if you're not making decisions that are biblical because you do care about your Father in heaven and the relationship that you have and the things that come between that relationship, then I would question my salvation. Don't hold to the Bible.
I'm holding the promise, though.
No. It's a relationship that you need. A relationship with Christ. One that He will gladly enter into with you. He died to have that relationship with you.
Everyone will go through something hard in their lifetime. Unfortunately, this is how the world works. But everyone also will grow in their lifespan. Some by leaps and bounds, others slowly and steady. Pastor Troy will also remind you today that Jesus doesn't just want growth from you, though that's important. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He will enter into this relationship with a willing heart, even those that may have strayed and come back to the shepherd. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
Christ spoke of a judgment that is to come. He spoke more of hell than he spoke of heaven. So we need to stop debating and talking about whether or not there is a judgment to come. Don't worry about it. Just follow Christ. You don't have to worry about it. And I know we get worried about family members. So we don't want there to be a hell. Listen, if you're worried about family members, pray more fervently. Stop wasting your time doing things. Spend time in prayer and ask the Lord how you can minister. Ask the Lord. Cry out to Him to bring somebody, to bring understanding. How much time do you spend doing that? Is all of your time taken up with activities, with things, that you don't have time to seek the Lord and cry out to Him? It shows our priorities. So there is a hell. We've got to get over it. We've got to move on, and we've got to let it strike in our hearts a sense of urgency toward those who are lost and who we're concerned about, rather than wishing it weren't there, because it's there. And there is a resurrection. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So we got to move on from these things. And he says, God willing, that's exactly what we'll do. We will grow beyond these things. So here is that call to spiritual maturity. Now, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Next thing we'll talk about is the fruit of spiritual maturity. We know that there is that call now to spiritual maturity. Keep in mind here, we need context, because I think this is one of the most I read several commentaries, scholars, and everyone has an opinion different. Those who know Greek, they all come to this passage and they really honestly say, we're not exactly sure. Here's my take. So I'm going to try to take the most neutral, central take for all of us. The author's intention, as we look at the context, is not to scare them. This is not a scare you tactic or a scare you passage. He's actually trying to assure them and cause them to hold on, anchor, as we'll read next time, anchor into Christ. What happens with an immature believer who's never moved beyond the ABCs, basic matters, is they always seem to struggle with their salvation. Eternal security. Am I saved? Can I lose it? What if I'm not saved? Oh my goodness, my thoughts. And so the immature believer is always falling to this, am I saved? Am I saved? Because they're always on the edge. But when we mature, you know what comes along with maturing? Assurance. As we mature, we grow in our assurance, like in any good relationship, if you have a good relationship. Over time, couples that love each other and are honest with each other, there's a trust that grows and deepens over time. Couples who are together and they lie to each other and they do things wrong so that they can't be trusted, they cause doubt in that relationship and frustration. Well, let me tell you, God never cheats, God never lies, God never changes. He's perfect in the relationship. And so the confidence in that relationship comes not from His, what He does or has done, but it comes from you. Yeah, if you're a cheater, yeah, if you're somebody who doesn't act like you really do trust in the Lord, there's going to be some insecurities there. Am I saved? Well, you know, first of all, it's not in your obedience or your willingness, or not your willingness, yes, but in how good you perform. But if you're not willing to turn to the Lord and follow the Lord, and you just live as if there is no God, then yeah, there should be some insecurity there. I don't care if you came forward for an altar call and cried the whole time. When we mature, there's a growing assurance. One of the fruits of maturing is assurance, not presumption. There are some, they live like they want to, and they say, I'm saved, Bible says it. Oh, you don't know the Bible very well. You know a verse, but you need to know the Bible. Because if you aren't following the Lord, you're not His. You can't just claim this promise like it's some insurance policy and walk around the way you want to. He calls, and those who follow, those who are in Him, they're the ones who are eternally secure. He's not suggesting in this passage that you can lose your salvation. Let me say this. He's saying, one, if you could lose it, you can't get it back. So if you were saved and you said, well, I lost it, you cannot get it back. There's not another crucifixion for you. You can't. The point is this. You can't be in and out of a relationship with God. It just doesn't happen. You are either His or you're not. Now, sometimes you're not acting all that great, but you're still His. The prodigal son is the example of that. Was he ever not a son? He was always a son. Did the father ever go, I'm bitter towards him? No, he was always a son. He went out, he spent his inheritance, he, you could say, squandered his life. But when he wanted to come to the father was there. He was always a son. So you cannot be in and out of relationship. You can't fool the Lord. You can't come to him and he goes, oh, good, you're saved. Oh man, they walked away from me. Man, they fooled me. I saved them up here. If I would have known in my mercy, I would not have saved them because I would have known they were walking away. But now that I saved them, I accepted them, and now they've walked away from me. I can't save them again. Now they're lost for all eternity. God knows who is His. You don't fool Him by walking forward one day saying, I'm yours, Lord. He knows who's His. He knows when a real commitment is made to Him, a real heart is opened to Him. It doesn't mean that person will forever be perfect. We all go through different trials and growth spurts. But He says, I come in and no one can take that person from me. No one. Because I know what I know, and I know He belongs to me. You're either a child of the Lord or you're not. If you can't hear His voice, if you're not making decisions that are biblical because you do care about your Father in heaven and the relationship that you have and the things that come between that relationship, then I would question my salvation. Don't hold to the Bible. I'm holding the promise, though. No, it's a relationship that you need, a relationship with Christ. one that he will gladly enter into with you. He died to have that relationship with you. And listen, some will get a little fearful at this point. Did I lose my salvation? Maybe I can't get it back. Maybe I'm eternally lost. Listen, if you would like to be saved right now, if that's in your heart at all, you're not eternally lost. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that heart has to be willing. And if there's still that willingness, he wants to save you. He wants to have that relationship. So he's warning them about not returning to their former way of working their way to God's favor. Don't return there. Don't go back to those things because they produce thorns, briars, nothing, death. But those who follow Christ, they produce life. He contrasts these two, and then he says, verse 9, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you." The type of fruit that will come from the life. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner. He's saying, I know I've just scared you to death, you know, by saying, if you return to works, there remains no sacrifice for you. But I'm saying to you guys, I've seen your works. I know that there's going to be fruit in your life. I'm not trying to scare you or question your salvation. Verse 10, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister."
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. I'm speaking pretty directly, and it could be scary what I'm saying, but I am very, very confident that you guys love the Lord, will follow him and produce fruit. He says, don't worry. You've already shown your hearts. You remember those first works you did? God knows about those. You did. That was very difficult for you to leave your family. He's talking to these Hebrews. That was difficult. God hasn't forgot those. So now let's move on and move forward because it is what it is. And we're not called to an easy life. So let's move on to maturity. You know, when we commit to serving the Lord, especially when it begins to cost us, like the Hebrews, it shows us how real our faith is. It's not just some, you know, sentimental conversion as a result of nice words. Now, oh, that was such an emotional appeal and the worship. Oh, my goodness, I just couldn't help but give my life to the Lord. It's not that. It's the trials. It's when life gets difficult. The decisions need to be made. And the only one that you feel like might be standing with you is the Lord. That your faith is proven, genuine in him. And it helps give us assurance. Because I'll tell you, I've gone through things in my own life, and probably many of you have too, where it's like, man, if the Lord isn't real, this is dumb. The decision I'm making. And you stand there, and you can look back, and you go, you know what? My trust wasn't in my own ambition. My trust wasn't in my own plan. It wasn't in what I wanted. I am growing in the Lord. And I look back, and you don't get puffed up with pride. Sometimes you get eyes this big going, what did I do? But you also are assured, you know what? I belong to the Lord. I am in him. And I can even see that now by the decisions that I'm making. So, it's not, our faith isn't revealed by the sacrifices we make on the altar, but the sacrifices we make in our lives. We give up things so that our lives begin to show fruit. Our lives begin to show fruit. One, the fruit of the Spirit. This is an attitude. Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You don't have to manufacture it. Love will begin to rise up. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Husbands in particular. Self-control. Everyone. Against such there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit will begin to show. These are attitudes. These are heart sets. Also, the fruit of good works will show in our lives. James 2:18 says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. These attitudes and actions are often the result of sacrificing what you feel, what you want, what you really feel like doing in order to do what you believe God would have you do instead, to honor the Lord. It's a genuine sacrifice of our life. I want to do this. I want to make time for this. You know, one of the things that I had excelled at, I guess primarily in the military, was efficiency, making processes more efficient. When I have time to think about those, that's what I've always done. But it was selfish that I did that, that I got good at that. I want more time for me. So I'm all for getting things done in less time. But here's what happens with the Lord. Your time is His time. So you don't want to try to compress all of His stuff and just make it efficient. Let's make it easy. Let's do it. That's the Lord's stuff. So then I got time for who? Me. Who's your God? Who's your daddy? As they say, who's your father? See, we want to take all the time He wants us to take and give it to Him, doing it right, committing it to Him. And that means in our life, we'll pack a lot less into it. Because though God enables us to multitask, He wants us to be busy about His tasks, not compressing His so that we can get to ours. So there'll be the fruit of good works that stem from or result from the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all of those things. Ministering to others. It's not easy. Again, it requires faith. Verse 11. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. It could also be slack and lazy. But imitate those who through faith and patience, that could be perseverance as well, inherit the promises. He's reminding them, this isn't easy, but others have done it. And those others had faith in the Lord. And since they could do it with odds stacked against them, you can do it too. Joseph would be a good example, right? He didn't put himself in slavery. He didn't put himself in the house of Potiphar. You'd say, if anyone has a right to complain, it'd be Joseph. His brothers threw him in the well and then pulled him out and then sold him into slavery, mistreated him. And yet he excelled in that place. He should have never been a slave. He could have grumbled, I shouldn't be here. I got more gifts than this. I had dreams. Instead, he excelled. Though he was treated like he was a servant, a slave. And God lifted him up. God was faithful. Daniel refused to eat the king's delicacies and chose to trust in the Lord. So that when they issued this decree, because some were jealous of Daniel, knowing that he would still pray, though the decree said they must not pray to anyone else but the God of the Babylonians, that they would catch him and he'd be in trouble. And so he got tossed into the lion's den. And though they could not shut up his mouth, God shut up the lion's mouth. God was faithful. Daniel lived faithfully. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his contemporaries, his friends who went with him, they didn't follow the culture. Whether everyone else believed in bowing down to this God or not was not the point. They did it. They bowed down. They could have been saying, you know what, I don't believe in this. I'm just going to make it easy. They didn't. They stood up when everyone else bowed down. And God protected them. He was in the fiery furnace with them. Sometimes you feel like if you're going to take a stand for God, you're going to be in a fiery furnace. It's good to know that God will be there with you. And then Job. Someone once said, if you want trials in your life, start studying the book of Job. God will take you through things. Job lost everything. If it was family first for Job, he learned very quickly family could be gone in a moment because his whole family was gone. And he finally came to the conclusion, you know what? Though he take everything from me, still I will not deny him. He is God. So all of these were able to do it. And let me tell you, whatever you're going through, you can come through it if you place your hope and faith in the Lord. And you will glorify God as a result of it. Just like they did. It's hard. It requires diligence. It requires searching the scriptures and finding that place where God does want you to stand, where He would have you stand. Because that's our biggest mistake, is standing inappropriately. Standing because we, in our pride, take a stand. And not standing on the Word of God, the direction of God. We need to hold on to the Scriptures. We need to know them. We need to learn to wield that sword well. That comes with maturity. When I used to, I would practice with some nunchucks. You know what those are? Those are two pieces of, they could be wood or steel or whatever it is, with a chain, and you, if you do good, you know, otherwise it's just clink, 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 clink. So after a while you get, you know, used to doing a few things. But in the beginning, you know what happens? Pain. Lots of pain. Those things hurt when you get hit. I made a little pair out of bamboo just to ease it up, and it was, and those things hurt, man. Because I'd stop a little further out and they burn. It's like, you just want to put them down. I probably couldn't work a pair of nunchucks now because God has called me away from that. And I'm supposed to be able to wield the sword now of the Word of God. I need to be able to do it well, but so do you. We don't put pastors in our pocket and walk around with them. We are to hide the Word of God in our heart so that the Word of God directs us. Pastor isn't the answer to all the questions. The Word of God is. Pastors, they can have a slant. They can have an angle. They can have a reason for saying what they say that doesn't maybe minister to where you're at. That's why we need to trust in the Lord. And follow Him. It takes diligence. So, there you have it. The call to maturity, it exists. The fruit of maturity, it should be there. And it should continue to grow. And the diligence necessary for maturity. We're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulties. And it's only by persevering, hanging in there, that we will grow. Otherwise, we will always quit and walk away. And never get strong. That's not what God has for us. God willing, we will move on and grow.
The book of Hebrews reminds us that only one person should hold the top spot in our lives, God. Our Creator has made all that we see and all that we are, and nothing we have done can change it. In Pastor Troy's verse-by-verse study through this New Testament book, we've learned how important it is to keep our focus solely on the Maker of heaven and earth. We're so glad you joined us today for another edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series in Hebrews, visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast to have the latest messages from Pastor Troy as soon as they're available. You'll find a link on our website, or you can subscribe in iTunes. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com and be sure to let us know how we can be praying for you. Thanks for listening today to Building on the Solid Rock.
shine as we grow in.